You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello and welcome to Fat Chat, the podcast that's not afraid to get on top.
And this week we're going to be talking about sex.
Let's get it on.
This is a topic we've been asked a lot about, and we have a lot to say. So this will be the first of many.
Many, many, many.
I'm Hayley from Curves and Curls, and if you're related to me, please don't listen to this episode.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm George from Filler Figure Filler Bus, and one more notch on that bedpost. There might not be a bedpost.
Bye-bye, bedpost.
Bye-bye.
We now have a Patreon, as you know, where you can join the Squishterhood and support the pod, and you'll get loads of fab extra content. So head over to the link in the episode notes, or you can find us on Patreon by searching for Fat Chat.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We are at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And don't forget to join our Fat Chat community group on Facebook to be part of that squishy sisterhood. And there is so much going on in there right now. The girls are good. So many chatty, amazing chatty pictures. Yeah, chatty Cathys. We love you all. So thank you to everyone who's part of it. And welcome along if you're going to be joining it after hearing this.
So we have been keen to get into this one for a while.
Mm-hmm. We've been asked about it quite a lot, haven't we? You know, the anxiety, the maneuvers, the embarrassment, everything about sex as a fat plus size person.
Why is it that we get asked about it so much, do you think? I mean, is it because it's inherently different as a plus size person, or...
I have never had sex in any other body, but I imagine they can throw you around the room and spin you on your dick if you don't weigh as much as we do. But yeah, it's definitely, as women, we already have that sense of shame about our bodies sometimes, and it can be quite difficult with, you know, standards, beauty standards, the media and things like that. But then there's that added pressure when you are bigger, you are heavier, there are jokes made, maybe you don't find it as easy to clamber around and do the Kama Sutra in a session, and you know, you get paranoid about the squish and the chub and the squelching, and that is what we are going to be talking about today.
I think often the depictions of plus size people, particularly women, when they're sexualized, aren't very flattering. And there's this idea that like sex for a fat person is going to be like quite desperate or awkward or embarrassing. But we are here to tell you that in our experience, that is bullshit.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. We have both had a lot of very great, very satisfying sex.
Disclaimer, individually, not together. Yeah. The rumors aren't true.
And to be perfectly honest, the sex, be it between us or with other people, it gets better the more you accept your body, right?
Definitely, definitely. The more you realize that all bodies are fine as they are, the more you accept that those different parts of you are going to wobble and swing and, you know, do the helicopter swing around the room. I'm talking about my boobs.
Then I hope so.
The more you can relax and focus on the pleasure.
Oh, totally. So I guess we need to start at the very beginning. So losing the big V.
I feel like everyone worries about it, don't they? Yeah. You know, I feel that's the one time we all start off at a level playing field, and quickly the men get a bit too overconfident and over cocky, and the women are still there like, is my vagina weird? But definitely in my school, it was very much, you know, everyone was keen to lose it and keen to tell everyone who they thought had lost it, and giving blowjobs to the boys. And I have to say, big up to my first ever boyfriend, Sam. Hi. If you're listening, God, if you are, God bless what you've heard. I lost my virginity, you know, age 15. And he honestly made it such a nice experience. Aww. He was so keen to make sure that I was sure, that I was happy, that I was comfortable. Not in a, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay way. But he was just reassuring. He made sure that he took time to actually go down on me, give me foreplay. He made sure he had condoms. He was very prepared. Everything
Did
was
he have
like,
lube
very nice.
That reminds me of Superbad when he's like, I brought some spermicidal lube.
He didn't have spermicidal lube. Now it's tainted. No, but he had ribbed condoms, which I don't, fuck it. That's a fucking con if I ever heard one. Such
but
a con.
The fact that he was thinking about you when he bought his condoms is super adorable.
Genuinely, I could not have asked for a better first time experience. I was so worried it was going to hurt. I was going to bleed. It was going to be awful. I mean, it wasn't the most romantic, passionate thing. I didn't really understand what was going on. And my God, really? Like cringing thinking about it. I mean, I understood what was going on, but, you know, I didn't understand what should I be doing? Should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? What am I meant to be doing
like
now?
When we were talking about this the other day, we were talking about how, like, you were saying there's so much anxiety around that first sexual experience, but it often comes across that, like, men and women are worrying more about different things. And I think in the moment you can be worried about what you're doing, but beforehand, I think women's anxieties is often around what they look like, and men's is around being able to do it right and having all the technique and knowing what they're doing. It's so crazy because firstly, like, the person who's having sex with you obviously likes your body. That's why they want to put their penis inside you / lick your vagina / wow, I've got so many that I could say, but I'm just gonna stop.
Whatever implement they are using to pleasure you.
And secondly, like, when you're doing something for the first time, obviously you're not going to be an expert. That's okay. I'm all about enthusiastic amateurs.
I mean, I just feel like I didn't have enough friends who'd lost it at that point to chat to. So I was just more like, I'm just going to lie there and hope it's all okay and hope it doesn't hurt me. I wasn't very, you know, into the participation. It was just, I was just so nervous. I was just so, you read so much about women bleeding and it hurting. And of course that can happen. And that is such a part of it that that's all I could think.
I think
that, like,
that exactly,
you know,
echoes my experience. I was saying to you the other day, I felt like it was just a hurdle to get over. At that age, I didn't really have a serious boyfriend. And when the opportunity arose, I was kind of like, I just want to... But when the opportunity arose, I just kind of wanted to get it out the way because it felt like this thing that I was carrying around that I didn't want to have. And like, it was around about the same age as most of the other people that I knew, but I think it suddenly started to speed up that, like, so-and-so had had sex and so-and-so had had sex, and you kind of just wanted to get there and do it. And I was quite surprised because I'd been so self-conscious about my body in so many other settings, but somehow, like, not that much with sex. I just had this idea that, like, if I could just not think about it that much, it would be okay. And that actually did work out quite well. Like, I don't know, it seems really strange because in lots of other places I was like absolutely racked with fear about somebody seeing my body or judging my body, but never with sex.
See, I definitely also felt very much like self-conscious about my body. I've been bullied for my body, but I think because the person I was sleeping with for the first time, he was a little bit older and he'd gone out with a girl that I sort of knew from around the area who was also a bit bigger and bustier. And he very much made it clear that he was into my body before that. I, the same as you, I managed to sort of throw those aside. In fact, it's probably one of the least, you know, the least self-conscious times I've had about my body when I've been having sex with someone new, because I think I was just so worried about losing it that it kind of all went out the window, that I had a big tummy and big thighs and big boobs and whatever. I was just like, please don't break me.
So from that beautiful first experience, how did baby G grow up into big old slutty G?
Well, my lust for cock just never...
Was never quenched.
Like a serial killer. Yeah, you start slow and then you're ramping it up. And I had like several boyfriends when I was younger who I had sex with, but I think most of my partners have not been boyfriends. The more casual, the more, you know, meet them once, fuck it and chuck it variety. But, you know, when I went to university, a lot of the other girls in my halls and also I worked in a nightclub, everyone was doing it. Everyone was boning. Everyone was having one night stands. And then I went traveling and that's where
Chlamydia.
I got the majority of the D. Happily never have I had a STD or an
Good
STI,
girl.
Touch wood. I mean, I am in a monogamous marriage, so fingers crossed.
I have been for about 12 years. That's taken a big chunk of your chlamydia time.
It really has. But yeah, I just found it, you know, one of the times when I did feel good about my body, because you meet someone on a night out and they're into you. And sure, like a lot of it is they want to stick their dick in something. But I felt good about my body and they were nice about me, and the way they treated me was good. And when I went traveling, I was traveling on my own for the most part and meeting friends along the way, and I just felt so good in my body then. I wasn't trying to live up to other standards. I'd just come out of university or dropped out of university. I wasn't trying to live up to what my peers looked like, how they were looking. I was with the multitude of different bodies and ages that you are with when you're backpacking, that are in the backpackers with you, and my body didn't seem such an abnormality. And I think that gave me, you know, permission to just literally fuck everyone. And it was such a good time. I literally learned, I always say, because Robbie and I met before I went traveling, but we didn't have sex till after I came back. I literally learned how to fuck and suck while I went traveling. I genuinely, it's not for everyone to be as slutty as I was, but genuinely, I owe so much to all those backpackers. Can we have a round of applause? The Irish, Australian, Kiwi. No. I owe so much to that. But what about you? Less about me and all the STDs and STIs I didn't catch. What about the ones you caught, Hayley?
Yeah, I think I had a similar sort of awakening. I think, like you say, traveling, it gives you that opportunity to like not get too attached. So you're like trying with lots of different people, which is great. When I moved to London, I come from a previously quite a small town, or it's not a small town, but a small city where everybody kind of knew everybody within your certain social circles and stuff. And that kind of hampers that sort of thing, or can do. Whereas when I moved to London when I was like 18, I was like, oh my God, I can go to a different bar every night and have as much fun as I want to and not really face it again. I think we're going to use the S word quite a bit in this, but we're not slut shaming at all. This is a fun, great thing to do. And if you're playing safe, it is awesome, awesome experience. And I think... yeah, I think like when you go traveling, or when you're around people who are a little bit more free about it, you're like how much fun that can be if everybody's just got the same idea about it. It was so amazing just traveling a bit. And I think, like you said, I would like meet people and they would just be like really into me. And that was like an experience I maybe hadn't had back at school, where the beauty standards were really strict and everybody kind of knew who was sleeping with who. And I think there is a lot of that, like guys being ashamed of sleeping with fat girls, which is really ridiculous, but it's certainly something you experience more in your youth. And I don't think I've ever been with anyone who was particularly doing that, but I knew that there was a possibility that that was happening. And I think that made me more wary. And then when I just kind of grew up a bit and got to go and do my own thing, it was really nice to just like shrug off a lot of that slut shaming that's kind of ingrained in you, right?
Do you have one either very funny or very embarrassing story about a one night stand that you would be willing to share on this here podcast?
I do remember.
We can change names, dates, locations to witness protect people.
You are assuming a lot if you think I knew what his name was. I was once like making out with this guy intensely outside of a bar, a nightclub, an Angel. How ironic. Mm-hmm. And I remember realizing afterwards that like we were on a really brightly lit street, and I think he was fingering me. Under my dress. Yours better be worse than this now, or Joe, you can cut this out.
I'm trying to work out which one to tell.
Anyway, a punishment for my lewd obscenity was the next day I woke up with the worst bout of tonsillitis I've ever had in my life.
Oh, I thought you were going to say thrush. I'd like to offer up one of my stories, but then two genuinely about friends. I wish I could claim these as my own.
And also, if you're enjoying these stories, please do listen to our sister podcast, Sex Parts, where this is basically their 24/7 content.
It's so good, so good. So my one is that I went out, it was when I was in Melbourne actually, went out, got very drunk, met this guy, pulled him, he came back to my dorm. I had no fucks, I would just shag in the dorm. We shagged, it was all good, we fell asleep. When we woke up the next day, we were both a bit hungover and he was like, I should go back to my dorm. And then he was like, oh, no, this is my dorm as well. And I then had to spend the next six, I was there for a week, the next 6 days sleeping in the same dorm as a guy that I'd had a one night stand with. It's, you know, you don't really want to see them again in that capacity. But I have two from a friend who will remain nameless.
Sorry. Was there any more sexy time after that, or did you keep to your own bunks?
There was no sexy time with him, but there was sexy time with another guy who actually I stayed at his a couple of nights because he was local. So I got to at least be away for a couple of nights as well. But yeah, my friend who will remain nameless, she once had sex with a guy who had something called a swag instead of a bed, which is kind of like a big sleeping bag bed cave thing. Not very comfortable. No. It's what the Australians sleep outside in. Do you have them in New Zealand, in South Africa? Wherever the fuck you're from.
No.
Okay.
No, we just camp.
So it's kind of like
fucking
that.
Sleeping bag.
So it's like a sleeping bag, but a bit more structured, like a tent sleeping bag hybrid, if you can picture it.
Okay.
The next day.
Cocoon.
Kind of. So, you know, not that comfortable, a bit suffocating. As she left his house the next morning, a bed was being delivered.
They had sex in that thing.
You're ruining my punchline.
I'm sorry. I got so distracted by the cocoon. And then I was like, oh no, it was like two glowworms hunting
in a
cocoon.
Yeah, that's how it was.
Okay,
sweaty.
Sorry. Tell them.
As she left the next day, a bed was being delivered. If she'd have just fucking fucked him one night later, she could have had sex not in a sweatbox that smelled of feet. And then the same friend, I am so proud of you, friend. We're still very good friends now. The same friend was like, near a fire station one night, there was a guy there who said he was a fireman who fucked her in the back of a fire truck and then afterwards was like, yeah, I actually just clean the fire trucks.
Oh my God. I love it so much.
She's my hero.
These are incredible stories. We would love to hear your stories.
Yes.
So if you have some incredible, dirty, filthy, wonderful stories to tell us, make sure you come over to our social media at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook and dish your dirt.
So you, our lovely listeners, have obviously been asking us about this episode, and a lot of it comes down to the fact that there are differences between how plus size and slim bodies are when they have sex. And we just want to talk a little bit, you know, normalize what those differences are and the fact that they are okay. You know, bigger bodies do different things.
Oh, totally. And like, I feel like if we're not going to talk about it, who is?
That's true.
We've pretty much
that should be our
made
slogan,
ourselves
if...
legit. If we are not going to talk about it, who will? One of the things is like, we jiggle more.
Mm-hmm.
We jiggle a lot more. But then I feel like whenever I watch pretty mainstream porn, jiggle seems to be a really good thing, no?
They love to slap that ass, make it move. It's just knowing, men like to know, you know, when you see heterosex, that the power of their thrust, that's me doing thrust, is causing a reaction. It's causing the body to reverberate with their fucking manly cock power. Do you know what I mean? That jiggle goes on and on, doesn't it? Like, I feel like a waterbed sometimes, that like you jiggle, but then it's like throwing a stone in a lake. The ripples just... They just go, because it's true. And when you start going, you have to like stop yourself.
There's momentum.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. The other thing is that like, and I feel we haven't really talked about this when we were prepping for this episode.
Oh, no.
But both... I'm going off piece. Both of us, I think, really... We have ridiculous senses of humor, and having sense of humor in bed is so important.
Poor Robbie. He's like, you're putting me off now.
He's like, yeah, like, please stop making comments. But yeah, so if you can like, if you can see something as a waterbed and still be amused and share that with your partner, all the better.
Yeah.
You also, George, are fascinated by the noises people make during sex, or more to the point, their bodies make.
I mean, I hope I'm not alone in this. It'd be weird if I was. I often am alone. No. But that suction where your tummies get suctioned together, especially if you've got the fleshy tummy and like the, just all of the like squelchy, fappy, slappy noises that I've never had sex in a slim body because I've never had a slim body. So I'm assuming it's a lot of it is just there's more jiggle and squelch and things like that. So, you know, there are noises.
Also, I feel like maybe plus bodies make more noises. So perhaps it detracts from the other noises. Mm-hmm. I remember once I was a teenager and I don't know, me and a friend, we were like going off down the road, like where we live to like go and smoke a cigarette or something like that. And we walked past this house. It was the height of summer and we couldn't see anything, but we could just hear these noises. And I think I was a bit greener than my friend, but the noises were basically the noises I was just making, which was like that. And they were just like, oh my God. And I was like, what is that noise? And they then went into a very graphic description of what could be creating that noise.
Oh my God.
And I feel like I lived in a very hilly place. And I feel like that noise carried throughout the valley. Oh.
But the thing is, if you are having heterosex, then there's the fucking noise of like ball sack slapping around. And like men have other things as well. And what's causing that noise?
And if you're having like lesbian sex, there might be the sound of slurping and fingering and suctioning and all sorts of things.
That happens in straight sex as well, Hayley. I'm so sorry for your experiences. But that can happen there too. But you know, like what's the cause of that? The other person doing something to your body. Don't you be embarrassed. Like you wouldn't have squelching if there wasn't something going in you. Like both of you are making that noise and that noise is just two bodies.
Don't ignore it. Giggle.
Yeah.
If you want to giggle, giggle.
You know, like porn really strips that out of like sex. It doesn't show the like messy graphic. They're like, oh, should we change position? They fucking segue into the next position. You're there like, oh, okay, let me just get a toy out for this one because I've got access to my clit now. And like, you're there like hopping around doing things. Your legs
scrabbling under the bed, yeah, trying to find the box that you keep your dildo in.
It's like, you're having sex, you're under the bed. I see what you're saying.
Whatever, your people have sex in cocoons. Also, I mean, we are heavier. And I feel like when you're growing up, like one of those things that used to be was like Cosmos would have their like 10 positions of the month.
No.
And there's always about three where someone has to lift you up like the scene out of Dirty Dancing and like, I don't know, fuck you on a tree log or something.
Oh.
And I'm just like, anyone hoping to lift me up is gonna get a hernia. Oh. That's not sexy. I need Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Hayley Hernia Stewart.
To be perfectly honest, like there have been a few like mighty oaks of men who have managed to lift me, possibly when I was smaller than I am now. Can't say it's something I particularly miss.
No, I recently met Eddie Hall, who's the world's strongest man, and he can deadlift crazy amounts. And literally, as I posed with him for a photo, all my brain was going was, if you had sex with him, he could pick you up. He could pick you up. He could pick you up. If you had sex, and I was like, stop. But yeah, I actually have also had the picking up experience and it was kind of hot. The guy picked me up, he put me on the kitchen counter and continued to snog me, but it didn't really add anything. I mostly just felt self-conscious. It was a bit, you know, my power got taken away. I was like, why am I in the air? What's going on? But yeah, that heaviness, I mean, I don't know about you, but I definitely have been conscious of like beds squeaking, beds breaking. As mentioned, I've had a lot of sex in bunk beds. I've been worried I'm going to throw the top person off the top bunk or crush the person on the bottom bunk, wherever it was I was doing the shagging. There's, you know, paranoia about your body.
Oh, totally. I remember in uni, we had these rickety metal single beds in the res rooms, like in our dorms. I had girlfriends at uni who would have their boyfriends sleep over every night. And I'm like, how are you people getting any sleep? And then I realized that they were like small people. Sex in a single bed is not fun. I need space to maneuver.
When you're like on top and your knee like slips off because you've suddenly got to the edge of the bed and like...
Well, you're conscious. Oh. You're going to like in a bunk bed, you're going to bang your head. Definitely happened to me several times while I was traveling.
Although top tip, if you are on the bottom bunk, you can hang on to the little slats of the bunk above you and really go to town on some cock. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, just go to town on that D. I feel though like we are doing a really good job to debunk.
I did do a lot of debunking. I bunked the D's in the bunks in Australia. Sorry, carry on.
I feel like a lot of the like rotations of sex in be it in like sex scenes in movies or in like, or in porn, they are, like you said, like transitioning so smoothly from one move to another. They set such unrealistic expectations. And on top of that, so that's just for anyone having sex, right? Those expectations are already unrealistic. And then when you put on top of that, the most of the time, you don't see anyone who looks remotely like us. That makes it really difficult to like appreciate what plus size sex looks like as opposed to
straight size sex. This is the thing with being plus size is, you know, when it comes to wearing bikinis, we can find examples online. When it comes to wearing whatever, wedding dresses, anything that you're a bit worried about. But when it comes to sex, you know, there is obviously some that are on some porn sites like BBW porn and things like that, but it's not as like mainstream. It's a bit, feels a bit more taboo. That's the one area where we can't really get a good grasp of like, is our body normal? Should our body be doing that? Because it's not readily available, is it? You know?
Talking about self-care this week, we want you to start a conversation about sex. And it can be with anyone in your life. Maybe not your boss. That's probably not the right person. perhaps not your child's teacher. Maybe. No. But start a conversation about sex, because sometimes talking about these things can make us feel a lot less alone. If it's something specifically about being in a plus body, speak to another friend who's plus size or come and have a chat in the Fat Chat community. Maybe you want to have a chat about your partner, about something you've always wanted to try or something you're self-conscious about or something that you enjoy. Or maybe you want to have a conversation with your children where you talk about consent and about what healthy sexual relationships look like. I think a lot of the weirdness that we have around sex or the self-consciousness we have is just because it's not something we talk about enough. I mean, if you've ever been within a 1 kilometer radius of me or Georgina, you definitely will have had a conversation about sex. But for most people, so we would love to know how those conversations go. If you've got any good tips for like ways to start conversations with your partners or with your friends, how it is that you're talking to maybe your teenagers or your children about sex, like let us know. We'd love to share them on our social media and just make this a little bit more of an open conversation.
And now it is that time of the show. We have got our very own fashion pro, Rivki.
Hi guys, and welcome to fashion. I finally got myself a microphone, so I look forward to joining the rest of the girls soon. So the girls are talking about sex this week, so we couldn't not talk about sexy underwear for the bedroom, because well, what else would fashion be about this week? And actually, despite the fact that probably when you got your first bra, plus size lingerie was pretty crap, it's actually improved so much. I feel like we have talked about lingerie on the show previously, but this week is all about sexy lingerie. You know, something to add a little vavavoom to your lingerie drawer. And I've got so many brands that I think you guys should be looking up, trying, because of course the thing with lingerie is it's not just like plus size fit, but it's also of those plus size brands, which one fits you really well. I know when I've spoken to the girls, there are some bra brands that work really well for them that don't for me, and vice versa. So hopefully out of the few brands that I have pulled together this week, there's going to be something on there that works for you really well. If you're looking for something that's a little bit sassy, maybe a little bit saucier, a bit more dress up or something along those lines, then check out Love Honey. Obviously they do like sex toys and things like that, and they've also got a really, really great line of plus size lingerie and plus size dress up, so they're a really good one to check out. Then if you want something like a little bit more 50s, a little bit more boudoir feel, then definitely look up Playful Promises. They're really great. George has done a collection with them. They offer a lot more of a vintage vibe, but they have an amazing plus size collection. They've teamed up with people like Gabby Fresh, and the stuff is just, it's almost like couture lingerie. I think that's how I look at it. It's got this really amazing costume, 50s boudoir element to it, and it's just, it's so stunning. And the prices are actually really, really good as well. So I think it's really nice. You get that great fit. Someone's thought about plus size bodies, and it's really sensual and sexy in that sense. Next up, surprising one, and I feel like lots of people don't look at their site because traditionally they haven't maybe had anything for plus. But Ann Summers go up to 44 H cup, and they also go up to a dress size 30 or more of the dress up pieces. I actually really like Ann Summers lingerie. I've used them a lot in photo shoots, and I think the stuff's really beautiful. And I think a lot of people have a misconception of what Ann Summers lingerie is going to be like. And often when I've had it on photo shoots, people will be like, oh my God, that's amazing. Where's it from? And I take great pleasure in telling them that it's from, you know, a really great British high street brand. So I was really pleased when they moved into doing more plus size pieces. I feel like they don't always have a great selection of them in stock. It's one you have to kind of keep going back to, but they do them. Next up, Fig Leaves, which is massive lingerie website. So they're really good for all your lingerie needs, but they've also got loads of other brands that they carry on there, and also Fig Leaves Curves. I think there's this real like misconception that when you're going for sexy lingerie, it has to be like black or red with loads of cutout bits. But if that's not your vibe, if you prefer something prettier and lacier, and that's what makes you feel really sexy, then that's the way you should go. You can find something that's in like a pastel color, like lighter, sexier in a different way. And I think it's really important to stress that sexy doesn't mean it has to be like corseted with strap detail, but if that's your thing, then go for it. Next up is Pour Moi. I actually have loads of swimwear from, loads of bikinis. They feel like bras, which I think is why I like them so much. They feel really supportive. So I'm actually going to hop on to Pour Moi after this and find some new underwear, new bras. Definitely one to check out because they have a really good plus size selection. And then really basic, but again, if you're looking for something that's not stereotypical sexy, then Marks and Spencer's obviously will still have really, really pretty pieces. So they're really worth checking out for sort of lighter, brighter summer, maybe something a bit more pastely and a bit more girly. Then you've got Simply Be as well, really good to check out because they carry obviously their own range of stuff, but they've also got lots of like chemises, lots of cute little two pieces or bodies as well. Lots of people are kind of going for down the sort of bodies and basques and corsets. And if you don't want to spend a fortune because you just want something fun to like spice up lockdown, then go to Simply Be, get yourself something cute and a bit different, and it doesn't have to cost you the earth. Next up, Fenty by Rihanna. God, they have changed the game so much. Their stuff is pricier, but I really like it. I think they do such a great job of giving a really different look and a different vibe to what's already out there on the market. And of course, you can get the same stuff in plus as you do in straight, which I love as well. Finally, we've got Scantily, which is like a sister brand to Curvy Kate. It's their sexier sister brand, and they do loads of great bandagey sort of bondage style pieces, I should say, with lots of the strap and harness details. And what I love is that you've got all that knowledge from Curvy Kate, so you get a great fit, but it is that kind of like super sexy. If you're feeling like a little bit cheeky, then they are a really good brand to check out. And I know the girls are also massive fans of them as well. And if you've liked all of those things, it's a big lingerie list this week, but if you like those, come over to our Facebook and our Instagram, and I will be posting my favorite pieces from each of those brands. So follow us at Fat Chat Pod, and you can check out the pieces that I'm loving this week.
I feel like one of the big things that we're getting asked when people ask us about sex on the Fat Chat social media, on our own channels, in the community group, is because they kind of want to know how to feel better about themselves in bed, right?
I get so many questions about this.
And so I think we wanted to wrap up this week. We will have lots more episodes about this, but we wanted to wrap up this week just giving you some of our tips and some of the things we think are important to help you feel a little bit more confident in that setting.
So we've talked about this program a few times, but I'm just going to mention it again. You guys need to watch Shrill. Okay, her boyfriend's a bit of a shitter, but, you know, she is there. She is having sex. We even see a little bit of them, like, getting it on in one of the scenes. And she's showing you that she's existing in that bigger body. And watching a body like that on screen does normalize things. I think a lot of the time we feel self-conscious about our bodies because our plus-size bodies aren't normalized. We are the before, we are the person that needs to lose weight. Watch Shrill. She is the fucking the before, the during, the after, the everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of like a wider point about the fact that representation is just so important. What you're looking at. So like finding plus size women in porn, you know, another shout to our girl, Kelly Shabari, an incredible porn star who shouted out before on the pod. It's just seeing those things. Another sort of porn enterprise that I really love is Four Chambered Heart. There is a sort of collective of creative you can subscribe to. And it's like the most beautiful art, but they use different bodies and it's very much through the feminine or female lens. So it's pornography like I haven't seen it before. It's absolutely beautiful. And it shows you a little bit more about different ways to be sensual and sexual. And I think a lot of that representation thing ties into this. Our journey towards body confidence is massively tied to how we're going to feel when we're being sensual or sexual with someone. So best place to start is to refer you back to like the episodes we've done on body confidence, which was episode 6, and feeling good naked, which was episode 20. Some of those things, implementing those in your life will help you in this area of your life.
Another porn star who is more plus size is someone called Sophia Rose, S-O-F-I-A, I believe is the spelling. She's actually someone who comes up in a lot of adverts when I'm on porn sites, so they know what I like. makes me worried they know what I look like, but hopefully not. But anyway, so I personally get so many questions, and I think, Hayley, you'll probably have the same kind of ones, from people who say that their partners fancy them, their partners say lovely things about them, really complimentary, really turned on by them, but they still feel self-conscious. And that is a hard place to be in, quite literally, because, you know, you have to love yourself. And it is sometimes hard if someone is giving you all of that, but you yourself aren't feeling it. It can feel really hard, but you just have to believe that. You just have to believe that they wouldn't be turned on and they wouldn't be wanting to fuck you and be with you. And they wouldn't want to waste their energy on giving you a compliment if they didn't believe it. I'm not fucking complimenting people that I don't want to compliment. I'm not wasting that. So it's so hard to do, and you can still be in your head a little bit. But please just remember, if someone is turned on and wanting to fuck you, that's enough. They're into it. You don't have to be as into it, but they are into it.
Yeah, and they try and see your body the way that they do. They love the way your body feels. They love the way that they love the things that your body does. They love the way your body can make them feel. At the end of the day, it's not, I think it's difficult to say this without sounding judgy, but it's not very sexy when you're constantly apologizing for your body or making excuses for it. And I think sometimes that comes from a place of insecurity where we're so desperate for someone to give us that compliment. But sometimes you just have to like allow the fact that the compliment is that they want to touch you and they want to be with you and they want to do this thing with you. Like, that's an amazing thing. And I think adding on to that, let your partner really get to know your body, allowing them to touch it and look at it, having the lights on, exploring each other's bodies. That is such an empowering thing, because then you're not hiding anything anymore. You're not hiding behind that bit of sheet. You're not trying to be looked at from a certain angle or being worried that they're like too far away. Like if they're too far away, they'll be able to see certain flaws or something. Like that's crazy. And it's going to take you out of the moment. And the best part of sex is like focusing on how it feels rather than thinking about how it looks. Because some of the best things I have ever experienced sex wise probably didn't look great, but they felt amazing. They're mind blowing. Mm-hmm. And that's because you just got to get out of your fucking head and stop worrying whether you look red or sweaty or like you're panting or are making weird faces. Like, oh my God, just do it. Whatever feels good, that's what you should be doing in bed.
I mean, I have got pretty saggy tits. If I worried that they weren't perky, I wouldn't be focusing on the fact that someone's trying to fucking suck on my nipples. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Little things like that. You can't be worried that you're like saggy or have rolls or this and that, because you can't then like focus on the like pleasure in that one area, like Hayley was saying. So just fucking allow it to happen.
Make sex work for you. You do not have to do it in one specific way. You do not have to enjoy certain positions. People can tell you a million times that this is the best feeling. I know people who absolutely love someone going down on them. I know people who cannot stand it. It makes them so uncomfortable. I know people who absolutely love giving oral. I know people who don't. I know people who love certain positions. Like, at the end of the day, make it work for you.
And you need to remember that not every position is going to work for you. And that is okay. That's why the Kama Sutra's there. It's not there to like, you have to try everything. It's there to be like, here are some good ideas of how you can mash your genitals together. You know, you've big bums and tummies can get in the way. And, you know, something might not work that well if your partner isn't very well endowed, or maybe your partner has a different body type or different proportions. You just need to find what works for you both and what feels good for you both.
Definitely. And I think make adjustments, have a look at positions and figure out if they're going to work. Try them out. And then if they do or they don't, I mean, half the time, I feel like people, whenever you read a post about sex, they say like, make adjustments for yourself. We're all doing that all the time. When you're in bed with someone, you're always figuring out what you need in order to make that better or something like that. And the best way you can make those adjustments is if you're really communicating properly and clearly with your partner and telling them when something feels good, when something doesn't, when it works, when it doesn't, how you think it could be improved. Like, this is a collaboration. You're not a solo artist. That's a whole other podcast that we're going to be doing.
I remember early on into our relationship, Robbie and I were just doing all the things, trying all the positions. And one thing I really wanted to try that I'd never tried, because I wouldn't do this when backpacking, is having sex in a bath. And like just having a nice bath together. What the fuck, man? Like, I got in, Robbie, and there was no space for Robbie. There was, you know, it just didn't work. It wasn't sexy or slippery. I was worried I would bang my head, like things like that. It looks all sexy and stuff in movies, but like, we just stuck to the bed.
Yeah. There are also like amazing sort of things that you can buy or use to make your like sex or your play better. So one of the things that often comes up when you like read like lists of tips for plus size sex online is the Liberator Wedge. So I don't know if you've heard of this, George.
Mm-hmm. I've heard so many good things about it. I've seen so many people talk about it.
I really would like to invest in one. And basically, it's like a very firm foam, like wedge-shaped pillow. And the idea is that obviously, like there's lots of positions where you'll like put pillows underneath your butt or underneath your hips or whatever, like in order to give you a little bit more support or a little bit more leverage or a little bit more lift. And so this is just like a much firmer version of that. So like buying one of those, or maybe like you often see like use a strap, like if you need
not that kind of strap. It could be straps to hold your knees up and your legs back and things like that, aren't they? That's what they're for, a bit more support, like a yoga strap. Oh my god, I have one of those.
Tonight's gonna be interesting. But yeah, or you might want to use like dildos or vibrators on each other, like employ other things in your pleasure to do that. So like if your partner isn't that well endowed or like struggles to get access because your tummy is getting in the way, your ass is getting in the way, they can use a dildo on you. There's nothing wrong with that. Like they can use it to find other ways to pleasure you as well as just the traditional way. And that's not admitting defeat or saying you can't do it. That's just finding new ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it might be weird to be coming up to the bedroom with all these different like implements, but I promise when you explain to your partner that we're going to be trying new things, they will find that hot. They will be maybe a bit wary about the straps and things like that, but they will find it hot to know that you are doing something else and you're taking control. Isn't control sexy when you're having sex with someone and they know what they want? You know,
it is so, so sexy. And when somebody says to you, this is what I like and this is how I want you to do it, it's the sexiest thing.
Communicate.
Amen. I also think something else that's really sexy is asking someone to teach you. Like if you're with a new partner and you want to know how they like oral, ask them. Say, tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. That's a very sexy thing. Like be asked exactly what you want and have somebody be like, I am the student. I am willing to learn what it is that you like. And each of these things, you know, they may work for your dynamic. They may not. But at the end of the day, it's about communication and it's about consent and it's about talking about the things that you like and what you want to do together. And then no big belly or big ass is going to get in the way of fucking mind-blowing sex. As you know, every week we shout out some brilliant accounts we think you should be following, because the only diet you need to be on is a social media diet.
And amen!
And this week we have the incredible Alex Fox. That's Alex spelled with an I, A-L-I-X, Alex Fox. She is an incredible sex educator, sex commentator. She has a plethora of podcasts. She has been on the BBC. This woman knows her D's from her V's and everything in between.
She knows sex. And you know, she knows that much about sex. She is actually a script consultant over at Sex Education. How cool is that job?
Oh my God, I love that show.
I love that show so much. And like, she's there like giving advice, giving, you know, giving tips and stuff. That she has the world's coolest job. Can we just say that now? So make sure you go and check out our social media at Fat Chat Pod, and we will be linking Alex over on there.
So guys, remember you can join our Patreon. George and I this week will be playing a very interesting game of Never Have I Ever.
Eek.
Yep, on the Patreon bonus episode this week. So for our £10 and up patrons, so now would be the perfect time to join.
This has been a Secret Recordings podcast, and don't forget that we have new episodes out every Tuesday. And next week we're going to be talking about fat phobia.
It's a big one.
And remember to subscribe to us wherever you're listening. And if you are listening to us on Apple, please leave us a 5-star rating and a lovely review if you are enjoying these podcasts. That's all for this week.
See you next Tuesday.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.